right. Let us move on to hearing from Andreas, who's going to give us an update on the activities of the board. Hello, Andreas. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Bill? Everything okay?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Excellent. Okay. So, good day to everyone. It's a pleasure addressing you in this new capacity. And don't be afraid, I'm not going to run you through a 40-page slide deck within 15 minutes. There will be a bit more flesh to the bone as to what is happening at the ISB side as part of our November meeting, so we kept it now intentionally short. The only two slides that I would like to provide some color around are the slides 5 and 6. But if you do have any knock-on questions to anything else, I do have my colleagues, Nini Shah, and obviously Sue Lloyd with me, who could step in should that become necessary. So firstly, as to slide 5, there have been a few changes on the board, and the most obvious one is just talking to you now. So when the last advisory council meeting happened, Hans gave his farewell. Hans, together with Martin Edelman and Françoise Flores, have stepped down at the end of June. At that time, both Bertrand Perrin, our new French board member, and I have come in. At the same time, the trustees have decided to change my affiliation away from a European board member to the at-large member, meaning that currently we have two vacant seats that we are currently holding interviews and hope to be filling those in not so distant future. As to consultation documents that have been published, there were three that had been published in recent months, and I shall take this opportunity to just alert you that we anticipate that three more documents will be coming your way in the next quarter, and I say a little bit about this on the next slide, but let's stay at this slide first. The exposure draft management commentary, we have had a session at the advisory council about the usefulness of that management commentary practice statement, the need for it to be updated, and obviously the cross-relation with the consultation that the trustees have undertaken when it comes to setting up a sustainability board. And also talking about developing sustainability-related financial disclosures. The prime purpose, I should just reiterate that, for the ISB to update management commentary was really to say this document has not been looked at for almost 10 years. And a lot has happened meanwhile. It was slightly out of date. And there was so much happening around us that we just felt this practice document could really benefit from receiving an update. And whether or not this might in the future be something that both the ISB and the ISSB would jointly discuss, or whether it retains this authority as an ISB document, is something that we will still have to deliberate. But we first concentrate, obviously, on the substance, and the substance, you will see, goes very much in the direction that Sue and Nick were talking later to you as regards the work of the Technical Readiness Working Group. The second part on this slide, the exposure draft subsidiaries without public accountability disclosures, is a way to facilitate to companies that have to feed into mainstream reporting of a group that is applying full IFRSs to go about a mix of recognition and measurement requirements that are tied to big gap to the full IFRSs, yet with coupling that with disclosure requirements that are drawn from the IFRS for SMEs. So this is about subsidiaries that, if they are eligible, that would usually apply the IFRS for SMEs, but given that they are part of a larger group that must follow full IFRSs, this then leads to these subsidiaries effectively having to prepare two sets of accounts. One for domestic purposes, which is the IFRS for SMEs, and the second one that applies to full GAAP. And this exposure draft is mainly targeted to reducing the burden for those subsidiaries in giving them a way that they do not have to reproduce their domestic set following the IFRS for SMEs in total. The third piece that you see is something that appears both on this slide and the next slide. The initial application of IFRS 17 and IFRS 9 comparative information. This is an area that has been brought to the board's attention in spring this year. And the board was being presented with evidence about the magnitude and the prevalence of the differences in application date that exist between IFRS 9 and IFRS 17. And the board was asked to see whether there is anything to alleviate the burden of communication that would exist in having to do two changes in two subsequent years because of the difference in the effective dates. The board acted quickly and provided an opportunity or a way that will facilitate basically to entities to remedy most of the accounting issues that have been flagged with us. Not all of them, but the vast majority of those. And first high-level feedback that the board has obtained through the grapevine seems to suggest that this is an amendment that is highly welcome. If you then can go to the next slide, please. On the projects that have been added are, first of all, the one that I've just talked about, so the initial application. So given that our last touch point with you was 5 months ago, you see that we have both put it on our agenda and addressed it already by means of an exposure draft. So the board acted very quickly. The other two that you see here listed, classification of debt with covenants at current or non-current, as well as supplier finance arrangements, are both issues that have been flagged with the Interpretations Committee. And the Interpretations Committee had recommended to the board to provide for a narrow scope amendment in each of those cases. The board is currently in preparation to provide for the issuance of exposure documents to both in these areas, and we plan to publish those in the fourth quarter. There's one additional part that is not showing here because it was not a project that was added to our agenda just since we last met. And this concerns the upcoming post-implementation review for IFRS 9, or I should rather say the request for information that the board is going to publish, where we seek feedback on the topics that the board might look into. Other updates not necessarily related to our standard setting work. You see that we have been able to again hold our IFRS Foundation conference, unfortunately again in virtual format. But I must say that we were quite keen on engaging with you. So just saying forget about it and let's wait until we can meet physically again was certainly not an option. And if you look at the numbers, 300 delegates from more than 40 countries is certainly something that seems to suggest that even in a virtual environment, we can hold these conferences. We then had in July a joint education session with the colleagues from the FASB. Three main areas featured on that agenda. Number one was an update as to each of our agenda consultations. Both the FASB and the IASB are concurrently going to market and ask stakeholders for what should be on our plate going forward. The second bit was an exchange of views about each of our projects that is related to supply chain financing. So ours is called supplier finance arrangement. The FASB are basically looking at the same issue, but providing a fix in their literature. And the third one is then the one that probably receives most of the attention and is devoted to goodwill and impairment and our respective approaches into addressing the issue. Just briefly on that one, we have had an exchange of ideas and the FASB have told us that they are approaching the topic really from a recognition and measurement perspective, and they're looking into a subsequent measurement of goodwill first. Our board has taken a slightly different stance and has looked at the disclosure side of things. because on the post-implementation review document, most stakeholders have agreed with the board's tentative leaning and saying there's little that can be done in order to improve and strengthen way how the impairment test is thought to work. But where we really can make a difference is actually by providing a disclosure package that will talk more to the subsequent performance of the acquired business rather than the individual line item we call goodwill and impairment. Now, this is not to say that we will both park our thoughts in our camps and we will go with the disclosure solution only, the FASB will go with their measurement solution only, but we will both make efforts to actually look into each other's areas as well. So our board will certainly also pick up the area of subsequent measurement and we'll discuss whether or not we change the model back to an amortization model and under which circumstances. But it is simply the sequencing that is different on each of our boards. So we were starting with disclosures and the FASB will look first into the areas of subsequent measurement. You will be pleased to hear that we have listened to our stakeholders when it comes to staggering common deadlines. We are fully aware that we have placed a lot of burden on you with publishing quite a load of exposure documents. And the board has agreed to extend the common deadline of the exposure draft disclosure requirements and IFRS standards, a pilot approach, which is basically a new way in formulating disclosure requirements by not going through a checklist approach, but really formulating a disclosure objective and then lay out what this entails and how entities may apply judgment. We are obviously keen in getting feedback about is this a way that you could see would work going forward, but we would also be highly interested in seeking practical feedback as to what this means to you. And lastly, we are engaged, and if I say we, I should really say Sue and Nick are engaged in our part, in the sustainability work to facilitate connectivity. The IASB is a member of the Technical Readiness Working Group, and you will hear more from that. So we are not waiting up until the IASB is erected, but the IASB is already engaged in the discussions with the other standard-setting organizations in the sustainability arena. And this is certainly not going to stop once the IASB comes into existence, ensuring that our financial reporting side talks to the sustainability-related disclosure side is of utmost importance. This is something that you reflect in a previous meeting of the Advisory Council loud and clear, and we will ensure that we park sufficient resources and devote sufficient time to ensuring that on an ongoing basis as we devise our agenda for the upcoming 5 years. Bill, with that, I would hand it back to you.
Thank you very much, Andreas. And thanks to you and your staff. This is a tremendous resource, the slide deck. All right, so that was a great update. Any questions for Andreas, his colleagues? The slide deck, as everyone has seen, it has detail on current consultations, forthcoming consultations, current and upcoming deliberations, or as the slide deck puts it, re-deliberations. The floor is open. Let's hear from Bileng. Good day, Bileng. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Andreas, for the update. I understand your explanation on why the review of the management commentary, but I'm thinking, will it be more worthwhile to consider taking this project at a slower pace, considering that the practice statement is only a voluntary guidance? It does not need to be complied with or for an entity to assert IFRS compliance in its IFRS financial statement. Also, the current lack of use of existing practice statement one on management commentary, apart from the strong interrelationship of the project with the future work of the ISSB, as has been mentioned, so that the technical resources here could be, for example, allocated to other more urgent projects.
Thank you, Bileng, for asking that question, and good evening to you. I think you make an important observation that the management commentary is a practice statement at this stage. It's not mandatory. And I would probably hold the view, and we haven't discussed that at the board table. I should probably put this qualification up first. We haven't discussed as to how we deploy resources to the project going forward, because it will be certainly an interface project with our cousin at the ISSB. So even if we remove our resources, which I personally would not suggest we do, because a lot of thinking and a lot of work has gone into that project, and we certainly want to provide our sister board with the expertise that has been amassed. But even if we are not, if we are willing to slow down that project, I would think that given the subjects that are being discussed in the practice statement, in the draft of the practice statement, are of high relevance to our sister board at the ISSB. And I think that the issue will come back sooner or later. What appears quite reasonable to assume at this stage is that there are areas in the management commentary practice statement that would talk more to the classic financial reporting side, and there are some issues that relate more to the strategic side, with probably what the sustainability board might be concerned with more. But we need to ensure that actually both sides talk to each other when we look at the location factor. So I hear you. I don't know how much we can do. We will have to just see what resources are available and whether we could actually wait a little bit. And I would say it is obviously dependent on how quickly the ISSB would be up and running. And you've just heard Erki as to how quickly this might be accomplished.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for that, Bileng, and thank you, Andreas. Osman. Over to you.
Thank you, and hi, Andreas. It's good to see you back in the ISB offices. Hopefully, some of us can start joining you soon, but who knows where things will end up. I had actually said one question, but I had two, if that's okay. One is on IFRS 9, which you kind of cover in the very helpful slide deck on slide 20. And I wonder if you're able to give any more insight in terms of timing for the next milestone, which is the RFI. And also perhaps whether there's any plans with regard to covering disclosures in the post-implementation review of IFRS 9. And then my second question was regard to dynamic risk management, which you've covered on slide 28. And again, just if you're able to give any more insight into timings of that project, that would be quite helpful.
So would you want to take this one?
Hi, Osman. Nice to see you. On the timing of the request for information, we're working on the draft of that at the moment, so that should be out before the end of the year. That's the hope on that. And the short answer on the disclosures is, as you know, we are looking at classification and measurement first in the PIR of IFRS 9, not only, but first. And so in the request for information, in the first instance, we'll be looking at the disclosure requirements that accompanied the classification and measurement changes and how well they worked. And similarly, when we get to impairment, we'll look both at the recognition and measurement, but also the disclosure. So the short answer is, yes, disclosures will be covered as we get to the relevant parts of IFRS 9. On dynamic risk management, as you know, we've gone through a slightly different route here, where we've gone and done some deep dive targeted outreach with banks in particular in the first instance to make sure that the core model that we're working on is both operational from their perspective and also that the picture of performance that's provided sort of chimes with their view of how they would describe performance. And we have had the benefit of getting the feedback from the staff at a board meeting, giving an overview of that outreach. That identified three key areas where there were some challenges identified by the banks in the core model that we've been developing. So at the moment, we're in the process of looking at those areas to see if there's things we can do to adjust the model to address those issues. And the current thinking is that once we've completed that work, and we'll then go on to discuss next steps, and that will probably be first half of next year. So some more work to do, but it is progressing.
Thank you very much, Sue, and thanks for those questions, Osman. Let's turn to Sybil, and after Sybil, let's hear from Barry Seiler. But Sybil first.
Good afternoon. Hi again. My question were almost same with the B-Lang. Just I want to state the concerns over the management commentary's lack of enforceability. So whether it's proper topic to test the waters for cooperation with the new board, and if you ally the work of management commentary with the new board, then it might create further delays or complexity. These were my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Sybil.
Good. Thank you for that, Sybil. Your concerns are noted. Mary.
Good afternoon. Good morning to everybody. If it's possible, I would just like some further clarification on the goodwill and impairment, because thanks for that, and I really appreciate what you mentioned, which is that the FASB will start thinking on subsequent measurement and the ASB on disclosure. But do you mean in terms of exposure graph, or do you mean that we might have sort of different model, or maybe it's too early to know, but we're just to have further detail if possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Marie. I think it would be too early to state what the end game might look like. There is certainly a willingness to do our utmost on either side of the Atlantic to keep convergence and the converged project, I should say, the converged standard converged. But there are different necessities on either side of the pond. Obviously, both boards have noted letter from IOSCO that has urged both the FASB and the IASB to stay converged in that important area. So we are committed to working to achieving that. Whether we will succeed, what this will encompass, at this stage I'm unable to say, because I would say we still haven't all the information. And let me just give you one insight that certainly plays both into our camp and in the FASB's camp. Even if there was a decision made to say we revert to amortization, the question would arise as to what this means in terms of how do you treat a legacy goodwill. And the transition problem will be a very big nut to crack. And there is probably no clean solution at hand, at least it is not visible. And more work needs to be done before we can actually see what is on offer and what the different models would look like before the boards are in a position to actually take a decision as to should we expose that, yes or no. So it would be too early at this stage, but I would stress the willingness on either side to do our utmost to stay converged.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Andreas. And thank you, Marie, for that very good question. I don't see any further questions for you, Andreas, or for Sue. So thank you again. Not so fast, sorry.
Javier.
Okay.
Thank you. But I just want to, first of all, thank you, Andreas, for your comprehensive comments. I just want to support what Mary is saying. I think definitely we support you to continue work with the FASB in this particular topic on goodwill and impairment to reach a potential convergence. So I just wanted to mention that. Okay. That really, we are very keen on some kind of convergence. Thank you. I mean, I want to extend myself.
Thank you for reinforcing that point.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all. Lee, can we hear from you on an update on the proposed changes to the Constitution and maybe sustainability more broadly?